Happy New Year, Fairhaven Church. Great to see all of you here. If you're a guest, my name is David. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. I want to welcome our Springboro campus to the south, our Northmont campus to the north, Beaver Creek to the east, Classics, and all those that are online in Centerville. Great to have you here. If you don't know, we are one church in four different locations, and it's amazing that we get to study God's word in all these different communities, impact each community, and to celebrate together. So thank you for being here. Thank you for being here on worship. Thank you for slogging through the weather and making sure that you found yourself in a place where you could worship God, where it's safe, where you could pray and connect with God, read his word with us and study for a few minutes. Thank you so much for being here. If you have a Bible or a device and you want to follow along, we're in a series called Unlearned Wisdom, where we're learning the wisdom that apparently the author, Solomon, didn't even look in his own life and he didn't learn it. And so we want to make sure that we avoid being in the trap of unlearned wisdom. So if you want, grab your Bibles with me and turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Now, I have encouraged you, if you were here last week, to take Proverbs and read one chapter a day. I mean, if you want to start a new year and think through some things in your life, that'd be a great place for you to do that. Proverbs, one chapter a day. You could do it through the entire month, and I guarantee you, you'll learn a lot in your life. It's a great way to start a new year. Before we dive in, though, today and look at the very proverb that we're going to look at, one verse in chapter 13, even though the whole chapter is really pretty awesome, I want to stop and just mention a couple things. If you're part of Fairhaven Church, and this is your home church, I just want to make sure you know that in the beginning of December, I mentioned to you that we were headed into last month just a little bit behind budget, and I told you that the December need for us as a church, all four campuses at church, was $1.68 million. And I am really happy to let you know that we told you about that, and I sent an email to you. And in December, the giving was $1.67 million, church. And so I just want to tell you, way to go. It's awesome. Here's the best part, really. I heard from the finance department. I was asking some questions. And here's the best part of this whole thing. We had more people engaging in giving and generosity in 1 month in December than we've had in the history of our church family. And so you responded, church, as you want people in our communities, all of our communities, Springboro, Northmont, Beaver Creek, right here in Centerville, to make sure that we embrace and embody the hope of Jesus. And so I'm just so grateful for your generosity. I hope you know that we take every single dollar seriously. I mean, we take it really seriously. I hope you know that we have a governing board that oversees us as a church family, and these are wise men and women in business, and we are serious about every single dollar. And we did so well, even though we were coming into December behind, we did so well, church family, that we think we should give some of it away. How about that? And so we're going to give our global staff members who are scattered all over the world, we're going to give them one more month of support. What do you think about that, church? Is that okay with you? If we do that, one more month, we'll support them. And so thank you so much for your generosity. I really, really am just so grateful. And I'm proud of you, church, that we responded to all that God wants us to do. The second thing I want to mention to you is that I think it'd be appropriate for us to pause and to pray for all that's happening in California. I don't know if you know anybody or there, but it's just absolutely devastating. And the truth is, every week there's probably something in the news that we could pray about. But I just was impacted and felt like we should do this. And so if you don't mind, just bow your heads with me and all of our campuses. And no matter where you're at, if you're joining us online, let's just ask God to impact those families and individuals. Father, we come to you today, and we don't even really know how to begin as we see the devastation. People have lost their homes, they've lost their schools, they've lost their churches. Lord, it's just amazing. And while we trust your sovereignty, there are so many questions. And so today we pause, Father, all the way in Ohio, to make sure that we communicate to you our hearts and our minds, that we trust you in all of this. And so we pray, Lord, that you would give comfort to those families who have lost so much, that you would provide peace in their lives as they rebuild and restart and relaunch. Lord, I pray that the Church of Jesus Christ there in the California areas would rise up and that they would be willing to participate in helping all these individuals and families who have been struck with this devastation. Lord, we ask that you would be with them, that you would come alongside them. Thank you, Father, that we can trust you in these hard, hard, difficult moments. And so, Lord, we lay them before you, and we thank you that you know all the issues more than even we do. But here, Lord, in Ohio, we want to pray for those in our nation who are struggling. And we ask, Lord, that by your mercy and by your grace, you would meet them in this time of need. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. You probably know that you become who you surround yourself with. In other words, the people that you hang out with, the people that you surround yourself with, the people that you spend time with, all of a sudden, you and I begin to look like them. We begin to listen to the same music. We begin to think like them. We begin to vote like them. We begin to want to do the same kinds of activities. You become who you surround yourself with. Let me give you some illustrations of that. The truth of the matter is when you're in a relationship, they say the longer you're with somebody, the more you start looking like them. Have you ever heard that before? Let me give you a couple pictures and you get to play along here. There's two pictures here of two couples, all right? Now you get to pick and see if you can tell the person next to you. One couple is a couple that's dating and the other one is siblings. So take a look at them and which couple is which. Just mention it to the people behind you or in front of you or next to you. Which couple is dating and which couple are siblings? It's amazing, isn't it, when you look at these pictures? Which couple would you say, yeah, those two are probably dating? Or the other two are, yeah, they're siblings. They came from the same family, right? If you're looking at these pictures, anybody want to take a guess on what they were? I'll just let you know, all right, by a raised hand. The couple on the left, they are in fact dating. How many of you got that one right? Let me just see. Yeah, not many got that right. It's amazing because they look alike. I mean, they look alike. It's incredible. Their teeth are the same. They kind of have the same hair, the same facial features. Their noses are kind of alike, aren't they? And the couple on the right, they are, in fact, siblings. What's really interesting is it not only happens in our relationships that you begin to look like the people that you hang out with. It's true even with our pets, right? I mean, take a look at this. I mean, the guy on the left... I don't know if the guy on the left, if he looks like his dog or his dog looks like him, but that's crazy right there. I mean, that's amazing when you look at it, because you know what I know and you become who you surround yourself with. We're in a series, as I mentioned, and it's entitled Unlearned Wisdom. And Solomon, who is the author of most of the Proverbs that you and I read, incredible wisdom that we can find in God's Word. It's really awesome that you and I can read this and make application for our lives and live this out. As we're in this series, we want to make sure that we don't do what Solomon did, because I think if Solomon were standing here today, he would probably say, don't do as I say, not as I do. That's what he would probably say, because he didn't live out this wisdom. I mean, he knew it, he wrote it, God gave him wisdom, but he didn't actually live it out. And so really for you and I, as we think about this wisdom that we're learning here and looking at Proverbs, I hope that you'll take it, you'll understand it, and then you begin to live it out as I want to do in my life as well. We want to avoid the trap of unlearned wisdom. That's why we're in this series. I said last week, and I'll say it again this week, that I'm going to suggest to you as we start out this new year, we're only 2 weeks in, actually. Let's make a revolution instead of a resolution. Let's make a revolution. I think you know what a resolution is. I mean, a resolution is when you make a decision to change a certain behavior. The problem with resolutions is that typically it's at the surface of our lives and we don't address the motivation down deep inside. So we work really hard to change some behavior at the top here, at the surface of our lives, and it's really hard to do that. In fact, that's why last Friday, January 10th, was called Quitter's Day, because the second Friday in the month of January is also when people statistically already have given up on their resolutions. So I'm suggesting let's not make a resolution because a resolution is just a decision to change a behavior. Let's make a revolution where you and I actually think about our lives and decide right in the beginning as we start this new year, let's change some deep things in our souls. What would it be like if we changed some motivations, if we changed things way down inside that would surface themselves in the behaviors that we have? So we act differently because we have thought differently and we've understood differently. And so at the soul level, I'm suggesting that we make a revolution as opposed to just a resolution. What we're doing in this series, if you weren't with us last week, is we're looking at Proverbs and we're grabbing one proverb and we're landing on that. And then we're looking through the book of Proverbs to see what else does it say about this one idea. And so today, here's what I want to talk with you about. I want to talk with you about the importance of walking with the wise. If your Bibles are open, you're there at Proverbs chapter 13. Would you drop down to verse 20? Here's what verse 20 says about walking with the wise. It says this, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Anybody willing to be honest enough to say that in the course of your life, you have done a few foolish things in life? Anybody want to join me in admitting that you've done a couple of foolish things in life? Yeah. And so what we're doing here is we're learning what it means to be wise, and we're going to learn that today. But what we need to learn here is that walking with the wise is one of the ways that we become wise. Now, you'll notice right away that in this proverb, two kinds of people are mentioned. Because as we're thinking through this, we want to remind ourselves that you, in fact, become who you surround yourself with. So when the proverb says that we walk with the wise, and that's how we become wise, the people you surround yourself with will help you to become the person that you are today and maybe tomorrow. In other words, Solomon is saying, check your circle. Check the people that are around you. Check the people that you are allowing to influence your life. And it might be that as we go into 2025, we need to evaluate that in our lives. It might help us to know why. Let me tell you why Solomon is saying this. The reason why I believe Solomon is saying this is because who you are today, as we begin this year, who you are today may not align with God's intention for who you are meant to become in the year 2025. In other words, if you ask yourself, do you want to be in a different place spiritually in 2025? I think most of us would say, yeah, I think so. I want to grow in my spiritual life. If I were to ask you, do you want to be in a different place in your relationships in 2025? I think most of us would say, yeah, I want to be in a different place. I want to be in a better place. See, who you are today may not align with God's intention for who you are meant to become in this next year. That's why we're doing this series in the very beginning of the year, so that you and I can take this wisdom and apply it to our lives and then live it out. And Solomon says here that when you walk with the wise, you become wise. You know, if you were to read all of the Proverbs, and like I said, I really encourage you to do that because there's so much there. Even in chapter 13, this week, even though we're looking at one verse in chapter 13, you would do well to read the whole chapter. There's a lot in that chapter that just talks about our life and dealing with people and so forth, our spiritual lives. It's absolutely pretty incredible. But in this one verse here, we see two kinds of people that Proverbs mention, a wise person and a foolish person. You might want to know that as you look through the entire book of Proverbs, there are three kinds of people that the book of Proverbs talks about. Let me make sure that we're all clear about those, just in terms of definition, because I think it'll help us today as we think about walking with the wise. First of all, the book of Proverbs mentions many times, actually, a foolish person or a person who's a fool. Here's what that means. A fool is a person who knows better and makes the unwise choice. And so many of us raised our hand. We know that. I mean, we know that there's times in our lives where we knew better and yet we didn't do it. And so that was a foolish thing on behalf of our own lives. And so we understand that pretty much most of us understand that. A person who knows better and yet makes the unwise choice. Proverbs also talks about the simple person, which is very interesting, actually, because it's somebody that's kind of in the middle between foolishness and wisdom. A simple person is a person who tries to be wise, watch this, but doesn't have sufficient knowledge or life experience in order to make the decision. Which is really interesting because many of us are simple-minded in certain areas, and that's why Solomon says when you walk with the wise, you become wise, because you might walk with somebody who has life experience that you don't have, or you might walk with somebody who knows something that you don't have that would be very helpful in terms of your spiritual life and your relationships and everything else. Let me give you an example of how this turned out in my own life. In other words, trying to be wise in an area that I didn't have enough knowledge or the fact that I didn't have enough life experience. I mean, this winter with all the snow, I mean, I think this is the most snow we've had probably in, what, 10 years at least that I can think of, or 7 years or 6 years. I don't know who's counting, but it's been a lot of snow for Dayton, Ohio. Are you with me, church family, on that? It's pretty amazing, right? Well, about 6 years ago, my wife and I decided that we were going to buy a snowblower. And there's two reasons for that. One is because I was just about ready to have knee surgery on this knee right here. I've had surgery on both knees, actually, because of soccer. But I was just about ready to have knee surgery here. And we thought to ourselves, if we have a snowy, you know, Christmas and winter, then we better get a snowblower because I don't think I could get out there and shovel. And so we bought a snowblower because there might be some snow. The second reason is because we thought if we buy a snowblower, like insurance, it's never going to snow. Which is kind of what happened the last 5 years. I don't think I've used this snowblower in about 4 or 5 years. And so as I started hearing about things that were taking place, I thought, you know, I read the Farmer's Almanac. I don't know if anybody, has anybody read the Farmer's Almanac? It's kind of weird, actually. And I read it and I thought, yeah, it says that we're going to have a tough winter. So I thought, oh boy, we better check this out. So I went out this summer, actually, and thought, let's see if I can start this snowblower of ours. And so I pulled it. And you probably know what I'm going to say. It wouldn't start. And so I thought, well, I don't know what to do, you know, but YouTube does. So I went to YouTube and I thought, what do you do with a snowblower that's not starting? And it says, well, you got to clean the carburetor. Well, I have no clue what I'm doing. I'm very simple-minded when it comes to this. But I thought, you know what? I can tackle this. And so I took the carburetor off the snowblower. I took the whole thing apart, and it says you got to clean it. I watched the YouTube video, and I was cleaning each part, and I had it all nicely on a bench out in the garage, and I was cleaning each part. I put it all back together again, put it back on the snowblower, and I thought, here we go. And I pulled it, and it didn't start. Well, as I looked at the bench, I noticed there was one little tiny spring about this big. And I thought, that can't be that important, right? I mean, a tiny spring, that can't be really that important. Well, you know what's going to happen here. I eventually had to take it to a shop, and they fixed it. And immediately they said, oh, yeah, there's a problem with the carburetor. Now, you're kidding me. Really? There's a problem with the carburetor? Yeah, there's a carburetor problem. So they fixed it. Now we can start it. I was simple-minded. I didn't have the sufficient knowledge in that situation or life experience. Proverbs talks about the simple-minded, and then it talks about the wise person. Here's what Proverbs says about the wise person. A wise person is a person who practices two things, practices what they learn, and then surrounds themselves with wise individuals. So if you want to be wise, you may want to pay attention to two things. The wisdom that hopefully we'll learn here, you need to put it into practice, and you need to surround yourself with people who are wise, who may have more years or more experience in that particular area, whatever it is that you're thinking about, and you can walk in wisdom. Verse 20, let's take a look at it again. It says, whoever walks with the wise. It doesn't say knows a wise person. It doesn't say have a lunch meeting with a wise person. The word walk there is a really important word. It means journey together. It doesn't mean a moment. It doesn't mean a specific time. It means that you journey with wise people. And when you journey or walk with the wise, the proverb says, you and I become wise because the companion of fools will suffer harm. I mean, is it any wonder if you've been at Fairhaven Church that we tell ourselves that one of the essentials of our faith is building deep relationships. That if you're a follower of Jesus, one of the essentials of your faith growing, and perhaps in 2025, if you're not in a small group, you might want to consider it because it's part of the essential of a faith life with you, where you walk with other people because as we think through this, as we think through this proverb, you become who you surround yourself with. And the proverb that we're learning here says that you'll become wise when you walk with others, when you build deep relationships with each other. Of course, the follow-up question would be this. How do you know when a person is wise? Like, what would you look for if you're going to walk with somebody who's wise in order to become wise? What would you be looking for? Well, if you look through the book of Proverbs, you'll discover that there are four kinds of people that you'll want to walk with. I want to show you these four kinds of people, and I want us to take a look at it and really understand them, because when you look through Proverbs, at first glance, it seems really easy, but it's not. We need to make sure that we understand these four different kinds of people. Can I give them to you? They're found in Proverbs, that if you want to be wise and you want to walk with the wise, here's what you ought to be looking for. You ought to be looking for and walking with people, first of all, who have a passion for God. Because when you walk with somebody who has a passion for God, that passion can be caught in your life. I remember when I was a soccer player in college, and My coach, his name was Coach Vena. Julio Cesar Vena was his name. He was from Bolivia. It was about this short. I mean, really tiny guy. And man, this guy was wise. This guy had a close relationship with God. And I still remember when I was in college, I wanted to be around Coach Vena. I wanted to spend time with him. Every opportunity I had, I hung out with Coach Vena because this man had a passion for God. It was all over him. He wanted God to be every part of his life. And I wanted, as a college student, as a soccer player, I wanted to be like Coach Vena. I took a class that he taught. It was on the book of Acts in the New Testament. I still have the notes from that class. Because I would walk into class and this guy was so excited about the Bible. He would be like, grab your Bibles. We're going to look today in Acts. And this man, he had a passion for God and still does. I wanted to hang out with Coach Vena. I remember when I started dating Kathy, my wife, and we were thinking about putting a life together. And I remember when I met her family, particularly her mom and her dad. And I thought to myself, this is a man, her dad. This is a man who has a passion for God. And Kathy and I have been married for over 35 years. And in those 35 years plus, it's been an awesome marriage. I mean, she's my best friend. But I got to tell you, I got a 2-for-1 because I got a man who's a passion for God and I get to be around him all the time. When we get to go to his home or we go on vacation, here's a guy who every time you leave his house, he'll say, can I pray for you? Can I pray over you? Can I talk with you? Can I be interested in your life? This man has a passion for God. See, if you want to become wise, Proverbs would tell us you're going to want to look for somebody and walk with people who have a passion for God. No wonder Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. The fear of the Lord, in other words, the passion for God, you can just kind of put that right in that phrase right there, a passion for God is the beginning of wisdom. Because God is the author of wisdom. He's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's ever-present. God is the source of all wisdom. Make sure you hear that today, even though we're talking about walking with people. God is the source of all wisdom. And if you want to become wise, you probably want to hang out with people who have a passion for God. Because Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 9:10 that a passion for God is the beginning of wisdom. And you're going to gain insight in your life when you have that passion for God. Anybody want insight for 2025? Anybody want wisdom in all of the areas of your life in 2025? Anybody want life in 2025 to be better because of all that's taking place in your life? A passion for God is the place to begin. Proverbs tells us that. You want to walk with people who have a passion for God. The second kind of person that you read in Proverbs that you're going to want to walk with is this. You're going to want to walk with people who show self-control. Self-control. Now, self-control is a really big word. Like, how do you define that? How do you put action to that? How do you look at somebody and say, well, they're a person of self-control? Turns out that if you were to curate Proverbs, meaning that if you read all the way through Proverbs, you will find three specific areas that Proverbs talks about a person of self-control. Let me give them to you because this is awesome. If you get this and understand this. See, if you're gonna walk with somebody who shows self-control is seen in these three areas when you curate and when you look through all of the Proverbs. Here they are, let me give them to you. The first area is living at peace with others. One of the ways that you'll know somebody is living with self-control is when they have peace with people all around them. James, the half-brother of Jesus in the New Testament, says this, the wisdom from above is first pure. I love that. It's pure. Then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace with others around them. So if you want to walk with somebody and become wise, you're going to want to walk with somebody who's a person of self-control. And one of the areas that you can see in their life of self-control is when they have peace with others, when they're willing to make sure that relationships all around them. Now, some of you might be thinking what I'm thinking, and that's this. Well, there's sometimes it's just really hard to get along with certain people. Am I right, church family? And so sometimes you just have to agree to disagree, but you can still be at peace with the people all around you. So one of the areas of self-control that's defined for us is when you live at peace with others. Here's the second area, when you control your speech. Proverbs says a person exhibits self-control when they think before they speak. That's pretty good right there. In fact, if your Bibles are open, your devices are powered up to chapter 13, jump up to verse 3. We're in verse 20, but jump up to verse 3. Even in this same chapter, it says, you should guard your mouth because that's how you preserve your life. Wow. This is pretty important, apparently. If you want to walk with people who are people of self-control, self-control looks like somebody who controls their speech, somebody who thinks before they speak, somebody who understands that words matter. That's why Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19 says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. So you see, if you and I want to become wise and we want to walk with wise people, we should be looking for somebody who's got self-control in their life. And self-control looks like somebody who lives at peace with others and somebody who controls their speech. And then interestingly enough, when you look through Proverbs, here's how Proverbs describes a self-controlled person. Somebody who plans diligently, or let me put it in words that you and I would understand, somebody who's disciplined, a disciplined person. See, when we're disciplined, it makes so much more sense. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans or careful planning or discipline, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. Now, when we read the word poverty, immediately we think that maybe Solomon's talking about money. He's not. He's talking about our lives. He's talking about being a person that's planned and disciplined. He says that when you're disciplined and you're diligent in that, it's gonna bring abundance in life. In other words, you're gonna enjoy life more. If I read my Bible correctly, Jesus says, I've come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. And so Proverbs is picking up on this. And so the plans, if you're a disciplined person, you're gonna enjoy more life. If you don't, you're only gonna experience poverty, which means poverty of the soul. So if you want to walk with somebody who's wise, you're going to want to walk with somebody who's self-controlled in these three areas in particular, somebody who is at peace with others, somebody who controls their speech, and then thirdly, somebody who plans very carefully, somebody who is disciplined in their life. That's pretty good. Well, Proverbs goes on and says that if you want to be a wise person, then you're going to want to walk with a person, number three, that values humility. Humility is something that's a hard word to define, frankly. The problem is we've often thought of humility as just thinking less of yourself and thinking more of others. That's not what humility is. See, a lot of us think that humility is more of an attitude, that somehow we just need to have an attitude of humility, that we think less of ourselves and somehow that we think more of others. And when you do that, you can have an attitude of humility. When you read scripture, particularly in Proverbs, humility is not defined as an attitude. Humility is defined as action. And interestingly enough, when you look through the book of Proverbs, here's how Proverbs actually defines humility. It defines it in three specific actions. Anybody interested in knowing what those are? It's really pretty interesting. Because if you want to be wise, then you're going to want to walk with somebody who values humility. And humility is seen with these kinds of actions. Number one, the action of dependence on God. Somebody who is dependent on God, not just when things are going really, really well, but even when things are really, really hard. Dependence on God. That humility is when you and I recognize that we depend on God no matter what. One of my favorite stories in all of the Bible is actually found in Daniel chapter 3. You'd do well to read the story for yourself. I think you might know the story. Let me tell it as quickly as I can to you. You've probably heard it before. It's a story of these three Jewish men who were brought to Babylon. Their names were Shadrach, Meshach, and what? Abednego. And these three men were there in Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind. And Nebuchadnezzar thought he was God, and so he creates this statue that we don't know if it looked like him or had some kind of resemblance to him, but he did say to everybody there in Babylon that when the band starts, when the band cranks up, what you need to do is you need to bow and worship this idol. You need to worship this idol, which means really you need to worship me, Nebuchadnezzar. And so the band fires up, and everybody's singing, and all the music's playing, and everybody bows except, of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, a couple of guys saw that and went to the king. They were brown-nosing, and they went to the king and said, King, you're awesome. You're the best. I mean, nobody's better than you. You should be worshipped. I mean, everybody should like you. But by the way, king, there's these three guys, from Israel who don't bow. I mean, when the music's playing, they don't bow. And so Nebuchadnezzar says, well, let me talk to them. So Nebuchadnezzar gets these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and says, maybe you didn't understand the instructions. Here's the instructions. In case you didn't understand it, here's how this works. When the band starts and the music gets cranked up, you bow. There's a statue right there, you bow. It's huge. And I love what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, because they were men of humility. They said this in Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. They said, hey, King Nebuchadnezzar, when the music starts, it doesn't matter what happens, we will not bow to this king because we know that God can rescue us from the furnace. Here's the best part. But if he doesn't, we still will not bow to your God. I think it's one of the best stories in all the whole Bible. That if he doesn't, I will still worship him. That God has the power to pull us out of that furnace, but if he doesn't, we will not worship other gods. We will not bow to that. That's dependence on God. See, if you and I are going to become wise men and women, it's going to take walking with people who value humility. And one of the action items of humility is dependence on God. Here's the second one. When you place others above yourself. Now, that's really hard to think through, so let me try to put it in words that maybe you and I can understand. When you do things that benefit the people around you before it benefits you. When you choose to do things that benefit the people around you before it benefits you, that's humility. That's taking action in placing others above yourself. That's why Philippians chapter 2 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. In other words, when you take action to benefit others before you get benefited in your own life, that's an act of humility. And it's such an important thing because if we're going to become wise and you want to walk in wisdom, then you're going to want to probably walk with people who value humility. And one of the actions of humility is placing people above others. Here's the third action that we see in Proverbs, and that's this, that you seek to serve others rather than being served. Now you say, well, that's similar to the first one. Maybe, but not really. When you seek to serve people, sometimes people that you don't even really know who they are or people who never would be able to thank you. In fact, I would say to you, in the year 2025, if you've never participated in helping us in any of our community events or helping us to go on one of our mission trips across the world or being involved in any one of our campuses or helping us and serving in some capacity, the reason we ask you to do that is not because we have needs. We ask you to do that because it's so important to humility. When you act in serving, you're acting in humility. In fact, you're acting in wisdom. You might want to consider that because that's what wisdom is. And if we're going to be wise people and walk with the wise to become wise, then we should make sure that we understand that we should walk with people who value humility. And one of the things that comes out of humility is the fact that we seek to serve rather than to be served. That's why Proverbs 11, verse 2 says this. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. That's amazing. So we see here that the book of Proverbs tells us an awful lot, that if you're going to be a person of wisdom, that you need to walk with wise people, and you need to walk with people who have a passion for God, number one. Number two, you need to walk with people who value or share, self-control. You need to value humility, and here's the third one. You need to walk with people who are teachable. All through Proverbs, we see that if you want to become wise, you have to be teachable. You have to be willing to listen to advice. You have to be willing to not be the first one to speak in a situation. You have to be the one to understand that information is not what's as important as affirmation. You catch that, church? Information is not as important as affirmation. And when you're in a conversation with somebody, you can affirm in the process of that, and that makes you teachable, where you have a desire to learn, you have a desire to be wise. Being teachable is so important. It's almost self-explanatory, but being teachable is so hard, because the truth of the matter is it does take humility, it does take a passion for God, it does take self-control. So it takes the other three, in essence, in our lives to be teachable. But if you want to walk with the wise, you want to walk with somebody who's teachable. That's why we read in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man does what? Listens to advice. That's what a wise man does. He listens to advice and is teachable. Now, let me make sure it's really clear here. Church, wisdom originates from God. I hope you don't understand by what we're talking about today that you become wise just by hanging out with people. Wisdom originates from God. And then we grow in wisdom as we walk alongside wise individuals. That's why Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, iron sharpens iron and as one man sharpens another. In other words, we need each other. We need to walk with each other. That's how we become wise. But wisdom originates with God. If you're paying close attention, which I hope you are, I hope you're hearing what's behind what Solomon is saying in Proverbs 13, 20. Take a look at it. Proverbs 13, 20, Solomon is saying to us today, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. What Solomon is actually driving at behind the scenes is this: you ought to become wise so that people will walk with you. And here's how you become wise, church. You have a passion for God. You are self-controlled. You value humility. And you become teachable. Could you imagine, church family, if we just instituted those four things in our lives in the year 2025? Could you imagine if you and I chose to make sure that we walk in those aspects, those character qualities in our own lives, and then invited people to walk with us or walk with people who have even more so than we do, more passion than we do, more self-control than we do, more humility than we do, more teachable spirit than we do, we're gonna become pretty wise. What an amazing thing it could be for us in 2025. Which one of it is for you? Which one of these aspects might hit you today as you think about wise living in your life? Because Solomon tells us that we should walk with the wise. Would you bow with me? And let's ask God to meet us today. Father, we thank you for Proverbs. We thank you, Lord, for all that we learn in reading these Proverbs. Lord, we hope in our lives that as we encounter you, as we have a passion for you, that we will grow wiser and wiser this next year, that our spiritual lives, that our relationships, that every aspect of our life will be better in 2025 because of our passion for you and walking with people who have a passion. Lord, that we would be more self-controlled. Lord, that we would value humility. We would, Lord, that we would absolutely have a sense in our lives, Lord, where we'd be teachable. Lord, I thank you for this church family. I thank you, Lord, for what you're gonna do in our church in this next year. I pray, Lord, that you'd start with me, that you'd start with all of us in all of our communities and in all of our relationships. We trust you, we love you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.